You're listening to Peter Donegan. It is Thursday, the 8th of April. As always, you can find me on www.donneganlandscaping.com and hit the blog. I was going to leave this podcast until tomorrow. It would have suited better, to be honest. The rain had started to come down, which I was quite pleased about, to be honest, from a plant's point of view. That's something I'll get to shortly. But I was reading a book called Taking the Ache Out of Gardening by Stuart Dudley, a book that was first published in 1962. I bought it in an old book fair in Howth in North Dublin. And I was reading chapter one, which is a preliminary survey. And in it, the opening paragraph goes as such: there is a lot of hard work in a garden. It seems likely that there always will be. Methods, however, need not stand still. The English garden in its glory was built on the twin traditions of manual labour and horse manure. Many gardeners, metaphorically speaking, still have the same aroma about them, although labour is now scarce and horse manure almost non-existent. About garden work, books have been written in light-hearted vein, making play of this reluctance of the normal man to spend his weekends perspiring in his garden. A justifiable reluctance in my eyes. If a man needs exercise and enjoys this way of taking it, well and good, let him go to it. But if, like most people, he has other and better things to do, there seems no good reason why he should become a garden slave. It's quite a logic book, and I often wonder, in 1962, was Charles Dudley, you know, frowned upon for speaking as such? You know, I was talking recently with some gardeners and I was saying, you know, God, you know, blah, we did this and we did the garden course and we did such and such. And I drew a diagram recently for a gentleman on how to do hardwood cuttings. And he was saying, God, you make it sound so simple. And the guys were saying to me, you know, I was explaining this to them. They were saying, well, you know, if you take the magic out of it, there's no wonder. People think that it's easy, and because you make it sound easy, you know, there's no mystery to it. Where's the unique selling point? You know, it has to be magic. Well, sometimes it doesn't have to be. I think there are things that everybody is good at. I think there are things that one can have a go at. I think in the garden, I think you're allowed to get it wrong. I also believe I'm extremely good at what I do, but that's what some people would call extremely cocky. Anyhow, my job in the podcasting, blogging sense of the game seems to be to at least encourage you into the great outdoors, to have a go, to get it wrong, to get it right, to turn around and marvel at something that you have grown from seed. And I have to say, today, the last couple of days, I've literally been, I know it sounds silly, but jumping for joy. A good friend of mine, Jason Rowe. Hello, Jason. He's jacked in the rat race. And after 3 months of no speak, Jason rang me to query the fact that his strawberries hadn't flowered, and the fact that his potatoes had. And I think that's a great, for me, it's a great basis. He needs information. I like talking. Everybody's a winner. You can't go wrong. It's not just Jason at White Spider on Twitter. How you doing, mate? His there's a photograph up on the blog post to do this. And he put out a photograph today of a bird that his mom saw on his nan's window ledge. And, you know, I've got great stories about, you know, hiding up trees and having my lunch. But when I was young, my granddad used to tell me, you know, if you're bold, he said, you know, the blackbird will fly across, you know, and he'll tell me, he'll peck on the kitchen window ledge or on the kitchen window, and he'll tell me that you're bold. It was only years after I realised that the trees at the back of our house nested nothing but blackcrows and blackbirds and birds that were black, full stop. Wasn't a white bird in sight. But then I was, you know, of that age where puppery was probably my favourite pastime. So it, yeah, you know, made me think. But thanks for that. And on another note, no, Irish Hooligan, at Irish Hooligan, he'd made a raised bed, which I actually thought was really, really cool. I know Philip, a friend of mine down the road, he'd built one from stone and sheets of like leftover glass. But Irish Hooligan, at Irish Hooligan on Twitter, that's not his name that he was birthed by, if you understand me. It's a handle, I suppose you might call it. But he made a really cool raised bed, you know, and I'm just, it's what'll, I suppose what'll sound silly, yeah, but what'll excite me, you know, people kind of harp. I hear the techie guys and they're saying, you know, the iPad, oh, it's coming out, you know, it's going to be great. And I'm like, yeah, you know, when are you going to plant them cabbages? You know, it's horses for courses, I suppose. Anywho, onto the podcast, and all things great. Yeah, really unusual. Last week was the first kind of tipping almost. I think we just tipped in under 20 minutes of a podcast, and I got a call from Bernie Goldback. And Bernie said to me, you know, in the audio boo charts, hello Mark Rock, in the audio boo charts, you're number two. Ray Foley is somewhere there at number five. I thought, you know, manure to that. He was serious. I did. I couldn't believe it. I don't understand why. To me, you know, I think guys like Mark and Bernie, I think they teach it, you know, and they do it extremely well. Things that I wouldn't have never, ever known. Sorry, I have a Jack Russell here beside me trying to jump into a shed out of the rain. But, you know, Mark has given like a tool that I can use because I speak. And Bernie tells me I somehow have managed to use this tool correctly. I would say without training. I query it as to why I've got it right still. It's not inferiority complex in any way or of sorts, but I query as to why I've got it right. I would also query as to why I would have got it wrong, but I don't know if I will ever get it wrong, so I'm hesitant to change what is essentially talking off the top of my head with a mild list in front of me. But it's no, by no means any form of a speech, as I'm sure you can gather. Anywho, to it. That was nice. Sorry about that, Mr. Foley. If you need any tips, don't hesitate to call. There you are. Yeah, to all things garden. The pictures up on the blog that you'll see, I've got basil currant strawberries are the first tree. The basil, I've been cropping it quite hard this year. I haven't been terribly reliant on my basil because I suppose my chives have come on terribly well this year, as those who did the garden course would have seen. And so, but I've been cropping the basil. I want to make sure of a lot of herbs to get me through the winter time. So, and all I have, as those of you being in my house will be able to tell you, is an old German beer tanker and a pot. I'm just cropping it, leaving it in the sun and giving it water. That's all. I grew them from seeds that are quite, you know, healthy plants. But again, no magic to it. I think there's a link to a post up there, the original post that had written on it. Go take a look. The currants. This is, I had a dodgy 2 years last year as regards the crops that I got in return for what I had planted. But I think I got about three blackcurrant bushes. And in that, if you see the photograph that I took of the harvest that I got from them, it's a whopper harvest. It really, really is. Out of three odd bushes, it's phenomenal. The strawberries, on the other hand, are a different story. Because I've got a theory on this one, you know. I put out bird feeders in wintertime to attract birds into my garden, so it'll brighten it up and cheer me up and make me smile and all those kind of things. And then I see people kind of complaining that the birds are eating their strawberries. I'm kind of going, well, hold on a second. I invited you into my garden and now I'm telling you to get out. You know, I'm giving you this to eat and then I'm asking you not to eat that. And you know, it's... So the problem I do have is that the strawberries taste gorgeous. But... me and the birds seem to think the same on that one. So next year, what I'm going to do, I'm going to follow my old slug theory, which is when I'm planting seeds, I tend to do one for the slug and one for the human. And I think next year what I'll do is I'll double up on my strawberry plants and I'll do one for the human and one for the bird. I think that's fair in my head anyway. But what's happening now is that, like, if you know the spider plants, the strawberries are actually sending out the wee little shoots with the wee little, as I call them, baby strawberry plants. And so I'm going to start potting them on and putting them into the glasshouse. And that'll fill the glasshouse back up and make me look all greeny again. So that's really cool. My potatoes, I put up a picture of them. Now, this goes back to a little bit, you know, the whole Stuart Dudley thing. Of that, you know, some people really do make, from what I can gather from what he's saying, some people really do make hard, laborious task out of anything gardening. And I think, you know, there's a point where sometimes you need to think about what you want to achieve before you actually start it. And in that context, the reason I planted potatoes was not to turn around and get an extra 3 potatoes per pot. You know, I'm not a potato farmer. I enjoy growing, and that's the key to it. I enjoy it. So if it goes wrong, it doesn't matter. I've still had the crack. It's still been worth recycling a pot, the 1 euro of compost and the 10 pence it cost me for the seed potato, or the, you know, the old rotten potato that sprouted on the window ledge that I was harping on about last week. So I don't really mind. So I'm going to leave it for another week or so, and then I'll do maybe a wee little video on it of harvesting the potatoes, and we'll see how it goes. But I mean, if I lose 25% of the potatoes that I didn't know I was going to have in the first place, well then so be it, you know, I don't really mind. But let's see how it goes. An unusual one is peach leaf curl. It's a fungus spread by rain and wind, and its full name is Fungus Taphrina deformans, if you really want to sound intelligent. It looks like an old scabby wart where it hardened and then it picked off. It literally is that bad looking for a plant, and I feel sorry for the tree, but it's a rain with wind spread, so there's just not a whole lot I can do about it. You know, I was going to move the tree, but I just, to be honest with you, in the context of gardens being all things not 110% perfect, this is probably one of the specimens in my garden that isn't that. But it was there last year, it's come back again this year. I might try and move it next year. See if that helps any. I don't think it will, but I'll try it. But take a look anyway, at least I know what the problem is, and from there you can diagnose or not. I'll leave it with you. My onions, I've stuck up a photograph of them. I was quite pleased with them, actually. They've come quite good, but then I think the lack of rain and the, you know, high temperatures in on the really hot streaks that we've had, it's not been like a 12, 14, 16 degrees and then like a splash of rain at night time. It's been kind of clammy, hotty weather. And, even there was days where I didn't feel too comfortable with the weather or sitting outside, even in the garden, even walking, even working in the garden. There was days when I didn't feel too comfortable. So I can only imagine what it was like for a tree to an extent. It sounds a bit loopy the odd time, doesn't it? But you get what I'm talking about. Okay, onto the oddball bits. Apparently, I look like Dermot Bannon. Sorry, Dermot. My mom says I'm good looking anyway. You know, that's the main thing. I put up a picture there. Yeah, you can take a look and see what you think. There's a really cool story in there about a girl. She's made 365 dresses in 365 days with a budget of $365. I like the handmade bit of it. I like the budget bit. See what you think. Link's up there. It's a nice one. Fiona Hilliard, she put out a link there earlier on a place called Tor's Well. And the images are phenomenal. That's all I'll say. Go take a look, see what you think. Lorraine Larkin. Hi, Lorraine. Lorraine is climbing the Cooley Mountains for Arthritis Ireland. Funny thing, when Lorraine was one, she had arthritis. And she's doing this for a good cause. Cooley Mountains, one of the cooliest, do you like that? Cooliest places you'll ever see in your life. I'm going to ask Lorraine to get me a photograph. It reminds me actually of Keane, who I was talking about last week. He did it for the Dublin Airport Authority, their charity. And they did the 18 mountains in 62 hours. Yeah, they came in about 40 minutes under time. Nice one, lads. Mountain climbing seems to have its place, seems to be on the way back in. Doesn't matter to me, it's the great outdoors. Well done, Lorraine. I'll definitely be throwing you my 10 quid. Really cool site, actually. Pat Phelan threw out two there today. One was a grocer who opened up a opened up his own rooftop garden to grow crops on. And the other one is a guy who set up a site and a service called DublinMilkman.ie. If you ever wanted to see the opposite of moaning about things not being right, this guy deserves a round of applause. He really, really does. Not so nice story is the BP story to penalise the fishermen. Got this one from Dermot Casey. It's intriguing. It's disappointing. I know there are a gazillion websites talking about the BP story, but this one, you might say, got on my nerves slightly. You'll understand when you watch the video. It's a toughie. There is a gig coming up. Also, this is nice, and yeah, I like this one actually. It's called the Achill Roar. I put a link up on it, but if ever I wanted to go to Achill Island, and I'd never been there before, I don't think you could pick a cooler way to see it. It really, really is a nice one. They also do a Wicklow one, but I personally would like to take the Achill one. Don't know whether I'll get to do it. I'm more likely to get to this one. This next one is the guys in Ballymun. You might remember them. They did the, do you remember the Recycle Fashion Show? They also did, there was a garden I did a while ago where last year where I had Red Satellite. They put in the recycled furniture for that. Do you remember on Christmas, the chairs I bought at Christmas time that I got from them? They also do the recycled paint scheme. You wouldn't believe it. But in context, if you said to any man, Ballymun, Dublin, 10 years ago, I think they'd be going, ooh, do you know, it was, I think if you saw what's happening in Ballymun at this moment in time, you'd be extremely impressed and proud. And it's worth a visit, you know, even to the website to see what the guys are doing there. But they're opening Poppentry Park on Wednesday the 14th. They've got face painters, they've got puppet shows, they've got exercises, dancing, all sorts of stuff going on. It's going to be a cracking day. If it's anything like the fashion show that they put on, and I'm not a, you know, I'm no Gokwan, but Rosemary McCabe, how you doing? I'm no Gokwan, as I was saying, but, you know, the guys in Ballymun are actually doing really good work, and for that they do deserve a nice round of applause, to be very, very honest with you. One other thing, it's called the .conf. If you're, I've got a link up on it. It's DOTCONF. It's a gig being run by the guys in the Irish Internet Association, the IIA, and also the National Colleges of Ireland. Myself, and this is surprising to me, as it probably is to you, but myself, Bernie Goldback from Tipperary Institute, and also Mark Rock. Hi, Mark, from Audio Boo. Are going to be hosting one of the gigs. If you hear dogs barking, don't be surprised. I have two of them. But we're going to be talking there in the... they're chasing birds. That's what's happening. They're chasing birds around the garden. But that's, you know, that's what they got to do. But we're going to be talking there. I think there's about 15 days to go. Correct me if I'm wrong. As I said, you have a link up on the blog. Go take a look. What am I going to be doing in the garden this weekend? Well, I've got trees to crown raise. I've got a fair few of them. I've got about 120, 140 trees. And they're only a couple of years old, so I'm conscious. I want them nice and tall. I don't want them, you know, small and stumpy and fat and taking up room and blocking out light. So I'm conscious that what I do in the first couple of years of their life is going to save me tree surgeons in 5-7 years time, because some of them are nice oaks and some nice tilias and some really nice sorbus. They're just fancy names for native Irish kind of trees. That's really all you need to talk about or need to get grips with. But so I've got a fair bit of that, but it's nice secateur's work, and the stems are still flexible, so I can just bend them over like pieces of bamboo, you know, elastic bamboo, bend them over and nip off what I need to do and throw the clippings on the, I was going to say bonfire, but on the ditch, basically, that's it. So I have a fair bit of that to do. I look forward to it. I'm kind of a cup of coffee guy around the garden, you know, take it easy at the weekends. And that's about it, folks. All I can say is, look, happy July, happy rain, happy days, happy gardening. Enjoy. www.donegallandscaping.com, as I said to you. Take care and have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.